Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are continuing our look at a talk that was given in the October 2012 General Conference, a talk by a 70 by the name of Walter F. Gonzalez, a talk titled Learning with Our Hearts. And as we explained yesterday, one of the concerns that we have about Mormonism is the high importance placed upon feelings when it comes to knowing, as they say, what is actually from God. It starts off by saying, "Come unto me that ye might feel and see."
That's 3 Nephi 18:25 he's quoting.
Certainly not taken from the Bible, because as we demonstrated yesterday, the Bible is actually very cautious about us determining things to be true based on subjective feelings.
Yeah, it says it tests all things in 1 Thessalonians. And this is one of those things that you can't just take blindly. Faith is an important thing, no doubt, mm-hmm. but you got to be led by the evidence.
Well, this is the point, and I think we need to emphasize again that faith, you know, believing in something that has not been proven is faith, but believing in something that has already been disproven is not faith. That's foolishness.
That's exactly right.
And this is where the big controversy lies between the adherents of Mormonism and the adherents of Christianity. He goes on to talk about this story of an 88-year-old Brother Thomas Coelho, who, he says, is a good example of one who saw with his heart essential things. He says he was a faithful member of our High Council. I can't pronounce that word, but it's down in Uruguay. Prior to joining the church, he had an accident while riding his motorcycle. While he was lying on the ground, unable to stand, two of our missionaries helped him stand up and return to his house, his home. He said that he felt something special when the missionaries came to the rescue. He felt something special. Well, I would first of all feel something special too. How nice. These two young guys come and help me get up off the ground. I hope they never come pick me off the ground from my motorcycle, but...
But you're looking at the stars, basically. I mean, you have no other option, and these guys are nice enough to come and help.
Yeah.
But
I should clarify, I just don't want to be off my motorcycle. I'd love them to pick me up if I ever was. But but anyway, he feels a good feeling from these two young guys. Mm-hmm. And from that, it leads to another experience. He says the impact of those feelings was such that he read the Book of Mormon from cover to cover in just a few days.
Wow, that's pretty impressive right there.
Yeah, that's a pretty big book. It's over 500 pages. But okay, let's set that aside. Let's say he really did read the Book of Mormon from cover to cover in just a few days. It says, from that he was baptized and served tirelessly from that day forward. I remember him riding his motorcycle up and down the streets of our city, even in the cold and rainy winters, to bring others to church so they could feel, see, and know of a surety as he did. What did he know of a surety? Did he know of a surety and with facts to back it up that the people in the Book of Mormon were real people?
Or was he just listening to what the missionaries had to tell him?
See, this is another part of the story that isn't really being told, I think. I mean, if I was to just give you a book, tell you nothing about it, and take away all the preparatory pages that kind of tell you what the book is supposed to be about, and then you read it and you'd go, wow, this is a great novel. You know, would you really think that it was actual scripture? I'm sure that these missionaries had prepped him to a certain extent about why they were giving him the book and what the book they felt was really all about. So there was some preparation involved here. This isn't to say that there are not some wild, crazy stories about the Book of Mormon. One of which was given in a conference message back in 2004 by a guy by the name of H. Brian Richards, who was a member of the 70s also. Do you want to read that,
yeah.
Eric?
He said, I recall an experience with a zone leader in England who came to me during the lunch break at zone conference. He said, we are teaching a lady who is blind and nearly deaf. She wants to know if the Book of Mormon is true. What should we do? I did not have an answer at that moment, but I said, I will let you know after our conference. During the afternoon session, I had the distinct impression come as to how to help her. After the meeting, I said to the zone leader, have the sister hold her copy of the Book of Mormon and turn its pages very slowly. When she has done this, have her ask if it is true. Though she could not read nor hear the words, she felt the spirit and power of the Book of Mormon, and it changed her life. That's found in the Ensign, November 2004, page 96.
Wow. When I read this story, I'm sure there were a lot of Mormons just sitting there, probably teary-eyed. But yet I read it coming from my worldview, and I think, how silly. How dangerous. How in the world would this woman even know what was in there? Because she had a feeling? I mean, would you agree with that, Eric?
I would, and I would say that's not even based on Moroni 10:4, because Moroni 10:4 says you're supposed to ask if it is not true. Mm. Here she's, I mean, that's maybe a minor point.
Right.
But, I mean, not to have read the book, but just to hear the pages, couldn't she have heard the audio version and prayed about it? I just don't understand why you
have to. Well, I think she was deaf, so she couldn't.
Oh, she was blind and deaf. Okay.
Yeah, so she couldn't hear it, but
still. And nearly deaf, so I don't know what that means.
Yeah. But. See, this kind of, you know, bells and whistles go off when we hear things like this, because coming from our perspective and knowing what the Bible says about feelings, we would know that there's problems here. Mormons don't view it that way, so they look at this as a very faith-promoting story. Remember, in the Preach My Gospel manual that came out in 2004, the new missionary manual, it says very clearly on page 39, in answer to our prayers, the Holy Ghost will teach us truth through our feelings and thoughts.
What if that contradicts what the truth is?
Well, where is the truth? A Mormon would, first of all, probably say that the truth would be in, what, the Book of Mormon itself, and Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price, as well as from conference messages and such. We know that because this is what they tell them. But do we really know it is if it conflicts with what God has revealed in the Bible, which would be an older manuscript? We think, okay, if this is part of your standard works, if you do believe that this is the Word of God, then why don't you go along with it when it conflicts with what your leaders say later on? I would think the proper rule would be to do just that.
Listen to the next paragraph that was in Learning With Our Hearts from Gonzalez, third column. He says, today, surrounded by so much information, we might think that navigating millions of web pages will give us all that we need to know. We can find good and bad information on the web, but information alone is not enough. God has given us another source for greater knowledge, even knowledge sent from heaven. Our Heavenly Father can give us such knowledge when we navigate the celestial web in our hearts and minds. The prophet Joseph Smith said that he had the oldest book in his heart, even the gift of the Holy Ghost.
See, this doesn't solve the problem for me, because he's already making the assumption that the knowledge he thinks is right is sent from heaven. I would disagree. I don't think that information is sent from heaven. He thinks it is, but I would disagree. When he talks about the web, what do you think he's doing here? He's warning the people.
Absolutely.
Be very careful what you read on the internet. Information is a false religion's worst enemy. They do not want you reading things that might tear you away from that premise that they have for you. So they are given a warning here when it comes to navigating the World Wide Web. Why? Because there is a lot of information out there that certainly makes Mormonism look badly and shows it to be false. Remember the story that came out at the beginning of 2012, January 2012, when Marlon Jensen, the Mormon church historian, was speaking to a group, I think up in
Utah State University.
Okay, that would be Logan, Utah. And it mentions in the article what about Jensen's own daughter? Read that little portion.
He says, my own daughter has come to me and said, Dad, why didn't you ever tell me that Joseph Smith was a polygamist? For the younger generation, Jensen acknowledged, everything's out there for them to consume if they want to Google it. The manuals used to teach the young church doctrine, meanwhile, are severely outdated.
Now, we find that a lot of Mormons, when they find out that Joseph Smith was a practicing polygamist, especially that he had at least 10 wives that had living husbands, troubles a lot of Latter-day Saints. Now, we don't know for sure if she found that specific information on the web, but she probably found it from someone maybe who found it on the web. I don't know. But the fact is, Jensen is acknowledging that there's a lot of things out there. Now, what she brings up, though, is not false historically. It's not false.
Right.
Joseph Smith was a practicing polygamist. But notice what he says, what Mr. Gonzalez says later on in his piece. He says, even when reading secular history or other topics, when he's talking about secular history, folks, remember, a lot of this historical stuff that we bring up is not really secular. It comes from the Mormon church itself.
Yes.
We're reading their own material.
Polygamy.
That is on the web.
You just mentioned polygamy.
Yes. And you can find that information from Mormon sources. You don't have to go to an outside source to find that information. Now, if you find that information and it troubles you, is it really correct to merely say, yeah, but still, God told me it's true? When you know in your heart that's wrong, when you know in your heart it's wrong, how do you somehow justify that?
Let me read a little bit more here what he says in his talk. He says, it is also important to take time to be still and feel and follow the celestial promptings. When we do this, we will feel and see things that cannot be learned with modern technology. Let me ask you a question, Bill. Do you think that what he's trying to do is say, if you find something on the internet or somewhere else that disagrees with church doctrine, then that's probably not the way you should believe?
Or even shows church doctrine to be faulty.
Yeah.
I think he is. I think where you're going with this is, well, is he saying to set that aside
yep.
and go with that presupposition that you already have? I think exactly that's what he's doing.
Go with the testimony rather than what you might see on the internet if it disagrees with what we're teaching you.
We hear Mormons say that all the time. I don't care what you show me. I have a testimony that it's true.
That's a very dangerous place to be in, because if what you're believing is not true, how will you know if you're going to base it on this prayer that you gave, that you had two, 3 decades ago?
A little line that I use when Mormons use that on me is they'll say, well, you know, nothing you can say will ever take me away from the truth. And I have a testimony. I know it's true. And I say, yeah, there's thousands of ex-Mormons who used to say that.
Mm-hmm.
They came to realize that what they felt was true at some point in their life, later on, the evidence showed them that their feeling was faulty, and they made the correct choice in abandoning that which was faulty.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.